that back page, you'll find the scripture we're going to follow very closely today. Very back of your program, that back page, you'll find the scripture we're going to follow very closely on today. Scripture comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. And it reads, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God." And so today I want to speak to you on this subject, enjoy the good. Enjoy the good. I'm starting this series, Enjoy the Good, as we'll be looking over the next few weeks out of the book of Ecclesiastes. And the book of Ecclesiastes is an interesting book. It's considered one part of the wisdom literature of the Bible, and it has some very important things for us to grasp and to learn, and how we can grow closer to God and closer to each other and be more of what God wants from us. But it also brings up this idea of enjoyment and enjoying the good. And as I was preparing last week for the Super Bowl, I was bringing a Super Bowl halftime message to those that had gathered with us. And I read where the Apostle Paul spoke of enjoying the good too. And so he says, I'm reading this from Romans chapter 15, verse 24. He says, "Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if I may enjoy your company for a while." I may enjoy your company for a while. And I thought that's a nice thing to do, just to enjoy somebody else's company. Just to enjoy another person. And Paul says, I want to come and I want to enjoy you for a while. And it made me think about how God wants to build relationships. He builds relationships based on you and I enjoying one another. And I met a single girl years ago, and I said, you know, I enjoy being around you. And she smiled, and she says, well, I think I might like you. You think you might? Well, you know, just I guess we need to spend a little more time getting to know each other, and hopefully we'll learn how to make that a little more definite, that we enjoy each other. But God has a way of just helping you get into relationships. And the Apostle Paul here, we don't know who he actually was speaking to. I don't know if it was an individual or whether it was a group of people. But he does say, I want to enjoy your presence. I want to enjoy your company for a while. I just want to enjoy you. And so I started looking in the wisdom literature about this idea of enjoyment. What is it? What does wisdom have to say about what we should enjoy and who we should enjoy? And so I came up with these expressions in the book of Ecclesiastes, and you'll see it in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And we're going to look at that today. And then he says it again in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I hope to look at that next week. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he mentions this word enjoy again. And so I want to try to lift up what it says out of the wisdom literature about enjoyment. And particularly today, what does God say to us out of his word with regards to enjoyment? And this is from the writer here in Ecclesiastes. Is noted to be King Solomon. He doesn't actually use his name. He just says, I'm the son of David. And at that time, the son of David would have been the king of Israel, and that was King Solomon. And so he identifies himself as being God having gifted him with wisdom. And it was a gift from God. And so I want to look at this a wise man speaking to us about what is it we should enjoy. What should be a part of our enjoyment? including enjoying, as Paul tells us, enjoying each other's company. What else are we to enjoy? And so the Ecclesiastes says nothing is better for a man, or nothing better for a woman, for a teenager, than that he or she should eat and enjoy, eat and drink, that his soul should enjoy good. And I want you to note that in this first part of your outline, his or her soul should enjoy. I want you to write that word enjoy. First part of your outline, write that word enjoy. Your soul should enjoy. And that's different from your body enjoying it. When he speaks of your soul, it's going to something eternal, something that will last beyond right now. And so when the writer says your soul should enjoy it, it's going deeper than whether your physical body will enjoy it. I know when I get my annual shots, I don't never enjoy those. I get a COVID vaccine shot, I get the flu shot, I get an RSV shot, and I have never enjoyed getting a shot. But I do appreciate God sending the medicines that can help keep my body healthy. I do appreciate God having advanced medicines that they can be a help to us. And so I take the vaccines because I want to be as healthy as I can be while I'm here. I don't take them because I enjoy them. But I do take them because I think they will help me to be more healthy, and then I can enjoy the life that I have. If you're sick and not well and you don't have no prospects of getting any better, that's not a life where you can say, I'm enjoying life. You at least want to say, I'm trying to get better, and I'm looking forward to a better day, and I'm asking God to give me something to enjoy. So God says, what I'm going to give you is something for your soul to enjoy. And what your soul can't enjoy is this wise man Solomon tells us that your soul should enjoy that which is a part of your labor. What is it you're working for? And it should go beyond just you getting a paycheck. It should go beyond you just getting what it takes to have something to eat or drink. It should be something that you actually are, that's actually helping you in your soul. Martin Luther King Jr. says it this way. He says, if you're a street sweeper, do it until you're the very best street sweeper there is. Make your soul proud. It may not make anybody else proud, but you need to have it where it makes you proud. I did a good job. My wife, when she keeps one of our grandsons, the one that told me not to treat him like a baby, 3 and a half, when we keep him, she'll say to him, Caleb, you did a, and then he completes the sentence by saying, great job. So when he looks at me, he says, Papa, how did I do? Well, ask your grandmother. Don't ask me. But he's gotten me where he's not satisfied with it until I'm willing to say he did a great job. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what. You do this. You pick this trash up and throw it in the garbage can. And let me see how you do that. He did. He said, well, how did I do? And I said, Caleb, you did he concluded, great job. Then he noticed I didn't say it, he said it. So he wanted to hear me say it. And that it just reminded me, that's what God wants from us. He wants you and I to hear him say, well done. When he spoke of Jesus Christ, he said, this is my son who I'm well pleased. Our God wants to be able to say to you and I, great job. But in order for God to say a great job, we got to do the job. You can't say great job and you haven't done anything. We want to make sure every day of our lives it's a gift from God. You're not here by accident. You're here because God has gifted you with life. He wants you to use that gift to his glory. God wants to be able to say to you, to me, he wants to say, well done. I've given you life, and I want you to live it well. Well, this is what he tells us here. This is what Solomon is saying. Nothing is better for a man. Nothing is better for a woman. Nothing is better for a teenager that they should eat and drink and that their soul should enjoy good in their labor. God created us that we might enjoy good. I have it actually in the first part of your outline there, Matthew 12:8. Behold, my servant whom I'm chosen and my beloved whom I'm well pleased. God wants to be well pleased with us. Our God wants you and I to be pleasing in his sight. And in order to be pleasing in God's sight, we got to know what God wants from us. Scripture tells us this is what God wants. God wants you and I to bring glory to his name. And the way we bring glory to his name, Jesus says it this way. He says there's only one commandment. That one commandment is love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. God, what pleases God is you and I loving one another. That's the only commandment he gives. Love. Love God first, and then love everybody else. That regardless of who's in the White House. Sometimes who's there, it makes it tough to love. But God says, if you're going to please me, then you need to love everybody. And so if we're going to honor our Christ, we have to love everybody. You can't, godly love, you cannot choose and specify who you will love. If you're choosing and specifying, then I can tell you that's not from God, that's from you. Because godly love, love that comes from God, loves everybody. Now, you don't have to like everybody's actions. You don't like what everybody does. You don't like how everybody behaves. And it's a lot of other things that are about some people that you can dislike. But even in those dislikes, you got to find that which is comes from God. And all life comes from God. I do love them, but I sure wish they could change some of their ways. The Apostle Paul says, I want to enjoy your company. I can't enjoy your company if you're going to be acting a certain way. And so God really does show us that he wants you and I to love everybody and then show everybody how they should live, how they should show the love of God in their own life. I want to show the love of God in my life. Sometimes my wife doesn't believe me. I tell her, I want to be a better husband. Every time I tell her that, she starts laughing. Like, I know you're kidding. No, really, I do. I want to do better. And God has put it in us that we ought to want to be a blessing to somebody else. Now, I remind her, I didn't say I was going to be, but I do want to be. It's something that I want and something I desire and something I'm working at because God himself will be pleased. And then if God is pleased, then it doesn't matter what anybody else says. God says, well done, that's all I need to hear. We want to live our lives in the audience of one, and that one is God. Everything that we decide to do, every decision that we make, we want to make sure it brings honor to our God. And so Solomon, he does say this right. He spent a lot of time eating and drinking. I don't necessarily support that as far as thinking that a part of your habit. But I do think he gets it right as he closes this. He talks about eating and drinking. He says, and that his soul should enjoy. If you do something that your soul enjoys, this goes beyond just what's going on with you physically. It just goes beyond just what's going on in your private life. Whenever the soul is mentioned, it's talking not just your private life, it's talking about eternal life. Soul is an eternal word. It has no end. It will be around forever and beyond forever. God, when he speaks of soul, he's speaking of that which will never die. And so Solomon says, that which will never die, you need to make sure that is enjoying to you. You need to enjoy that which will never die. Now, as I thought about this, I only know one that will never die. The only one that will never die is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God never dies. And so when we talk about the soul enjoying it, we're talking about that which he has breathed into us, that which will never die in us, enjoying the one who will never die. We ought to enjoy our God. And whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever it is, make sure that your soul is enjoying it, because your soul will never die. And if you're doing something that God is not pleased with, and that's your final departing time, you leave here in a state where God is not pleased, then that's the state you're going to be in for eternity. You're going to forever be in a place where you are not satisfied. Jesus says it's a place that he called it weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't want to forever be in a place where your soul is dissatisfied, where your soul is weeping and there's gnashing of teeth, anguish and pain. You don't want your soul, which is last forever, you don't want your soul to be forever in pain. Well, Solomon says with us, you want to do that which your soul should enjoy. And so I want you to please have in mind, I want my soul to enjoy whatever it is. Sure, your soul enjoys it. But then not only that, he says in this next part of your outline, that second part of your outline, a good in his or her labor. He says, your soul should enjoy. And then he says, good in his labor, good in her labor. Enjoy the good. And part of being enjoying good is that a good should come from you and me. And I enjoy the good that is in me. And when that good shows up in my work, even as Martin Luther King said, if I'm a street sweeper, the good in that ought to show up in my work. I ought to be a good street sweeper. I ought to be a good bus driver. I ought to be a good taxi man, a taxi woman. I ought to be good at what I do. I want to be the best at what I do. And God said, then when you have that good in you, it's not going to be motivated by who's looking at you. That motivation to be good comes from within you. It is yourself motivated. I want to do good because it satisfies my soul. My soul is satisfied when I do the best I can in service. God, He actually celebrates with us when we do our best. God is pleased, as he says to Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Do you not know you are also one of the sons of God? You are also one of the heirs of God? We talked about in our spiritual man's class today, we are heirs. God has said, I'm bequeathing to you the kingdom. You become an heir to the kingdom. Now, if you are heir to the kingdom, heir to God's kingdom, then God wants you and I to act like we are part of his kingdom. You ought not to be an heir to the kingdom and then you don't carry yourself with any dignity. Certain words ought not to come out of a spiritual person's mouth. Doesn't matter how bad things might get. Somebody running your car, have an accident, cut you off. There are certain things that ought not to come out of your mouth. Because you are heir to the kingdom. You are royalty. You have dignity about you. And royalty and dignity shows up when things are not going well. When everything's going in your favor, it's easy to act like you have dignity. It's easy to act like you have royalty. But when things are going against you, when things happen that should not have happened and were wrong to happen, and you're mad that they happened, God says, let's see how you act then. And I've seen how, quote, Christians act then. And it's not dignified. It doesn't bring honor to our God. And so what we want to do is make sure that we have good in us. And if you have good in you, then good can come out of you. If you squeeze a lemon, you're not going to get apple juice out of it. Apple juice is not going to come out of a lemon. You know what's going to come out of lemon? Lemon juice. I'm going to close my eyes and I don't want to look at anybody right now. So when you get squeezed, what comes out is what's in you. So what you want to have in you is the grace of God. What you want to have in you is the love of God. What you want to have in you is the peace of God. And when you get squeezed, what's going to come out? It's going to come out that love, that peace, that joy that God has put in you. That's what's going to come out because that's what's in you. So you want to know if you are spiritual or not? Tell me how you act when things don't go well with you. That's when you know what's in you. They say about a tea, you can't tell how strong a tea is until you put it in hot water. And once that tea gets in hot water, you find out whether that tea is weak or whether it's strong. And God does the same way with us. He finds out what's in us by letting us get into hot water. And when you get in hot water, you want to know, am I going to be strong in this situation or am I going to be weak? God already knows. He's letting you get in there so you will know. He wants to expose the truth. And so, my brothers and sisters, it's important for us that we hear what God is saying, the good in the labor. Make sure you're working for the King. Make sure, doesn't matter what company you work at, God said, but you may work at that place, but you're working for me. You're representing me. You're representing our Christ. You may be retired, but you're still representing our Christ. Wherever you are, whatever station you are in your life, you represent Christ. And God says, I want that to be good. Make sure you enjoy the good that's in your labor. Enjoy the good that's in your life that you're living now. But let me get to the end, because the good thing about having a series is you don't have to stay long. Yeah, I'm going to get to the end now. Lastly, he says this last sentence in this verse of scripture. This also, he says, I saw was from the hand of God. This, the good, the labor, the eating and the drinking, he said, all of that I was that I might enjoy it, and that all is from the hand of God. God is allowing things to be in your life right now that you might enjoy it. Even the difficulties. Even if you have to take a shot like I had to take, it's not to hurt you, it's to help you. It's not to make you weaker, it's to make you stronger. And so when we get to where we can enjoy the hand of God, God's hand on America, God's hand on the other nations of the world. Enjoy what God is doing. You know, the news, they always like to report was something bad, something wrong has happened. But what they don't recognize is that behind every bad action is a good action. It is somebody trying to right that wrong. Somebody looking at the ring cameras and looking at the other thing, saying, I saw somebody that looks like that. Somebody, every action has a reaction. And God is saying, when you see things, when you hear it on the news, see where the hand of God is. God, show me where you're at work. Our God is always at work. He may be working on you that you might pray for somebody in the news. He may be working on you that you might call on the name of the Lord on somebody else's behalf. He may be working on you that you might give one of your chocolates to somebody else. God is always working on us. And it's important for us to see the hand of God. I'm going to close. Solomon says, this also I saw. So many times, believers don't see. Now, God's hand is there whether you see it or not. But God is saying, I'm giving you the opportunity to see it. Solomon says, I saw the hand of God. My brothers and sisters, God works every day. He never takes a day off. Now, on the Sabbath day, he does rest. But even in his rest, he's still alert. He's still working on our behalf. And what you and I want to know is he working for me? You remember the Lord told us now, he's not going to sleep or slumber. He's always working. And you need to be able to see the hand of the Lord working in your life. I saw the hand of God. Martin Luther King Jr. said, I've been to the mountaintop. He didn't know the assassin was coming that next day. But he saw the hand of God. And my brother and sister, it's still true in each one of our lives. God will show his hand. But you and I still have to do the work of seeing the hand of God. Every day I say, God, show me your hand. If you will ask God humbly, ask God with a sincere heart, God will show you his hand. You didn't get here because you're so good. You didn't get here because you were with a perfect driver. No, you got here by the hand of God. God moved accidents out of your way. God provided for us. That's why we're here. And we want to be able to say, God, I didn't see you working in my life. I didn't see you moving things out of the way, but I know you're there. And I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for your mercy. I want to thank you, God, that you've been a good God to us. And when you thank God for being good to you, then God opens up those goodness that he might have it, as a unit said, your cup will overflow. God will continue to pour goodness into your life to the point where you will say, I don't have nothing else I can ask, but God, thank you for all that you've done. All the good, all the love, all the mercies that God gives to each one of us. Well, I'm going to continue this next week. Will you stand with me? We're going to see if someone here today wants to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. He is the only good that we have. Man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, young adult, senior, we got a Christ. Mm-hmm.